Hello, everyone, and welcome to another recap race analysis here on the Cycling Dane Extra YouTube channel. And today it was Milan San Remo 2023, the big one, La Primavera. And yeah, we're basically going to take a look through that, but I can't do that on my own. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Gregor himself, Ewan Wilson. And Ewan, what a race! What a race!
Milan San Remo is almost guaranteed to give you 20 minutes of the best cycling you're going to be watching throughout the season. It's a slow burner, to say the least, 300 kilometers of racing. But the Cipressa and the Poggio and everything in between is truly fantastic. And it delivered in 2023 with, I mean, quite the finale, which we'll talk about today.
Yeah, well, without further ado, Ewan, what happened on this very iconic race?
Well, on the 2023 Milano San Remo, we had a breakaway with 9 riders. They were a bit doomed, I'll be honest. Where the race kind of got interesting was over the Cipressa. UAE dominated the Cipressa climb, trying to make it difficult. It was Felix Groschard in particular who paced up the climb, stretching out the peloton, sausaging it. There we saw sort of some of the contenders getting dropped, including Arnaud Delis, who is many people's pre-race favorite. From the Cipressa, well, nothing major happened. There were no attacks, but the peloton then went through a very stressful period before the Poggio di San Remo, the final climb of the day. There we saw some big attacks, notably Tadej Pogacar, who brought forward a group of 4 big, big hitters. Wout van Aert, Mathieu van der Poel, Pogacar, and Pippo Ganna, who looked to be one of the strongest guys in the day. He was marking Pogacar very well. Then, this group before, they had a solid gap behind. We saw sort of groups fracturing in chasing them. It seemed pretty clear that the winner was going to come from these 4 Galactico riders. Over the top of the Poggio, though, Mathieu van der Poel attacked almost in the same place that Matej Mohoric attacked in last year's edition. He soloed off the top of the climb on his own and took on the descent solo with a 5-second or so gap to Pogacar, Pippo Ganna, and Wout van Aert behind. They sort of worked together as a trio to try to bring back van der Poel, but, I mean, the momentum was gone. That gap was too big to close. We've seen it so many times in San Remo, and van der Poel soloed all the way to the end. The battle for second place, well, that was a bit open, but Pippo Ganna of Ineos Grenadiers sort of went on a hectic effort in the final 500 meters to distance himself from Wout van Aert and Tadej Pogacar to take the second place. Whilst Wout van Aert beat Pogacar in a sprint, he finished ahead of Pogacar to take third place in the day. They both seemed pretty shattered, to be honest. And then to round things out, fifth place also went to an Alpecin De Koninck rider in Soren-Carl Andersen. So, I mean, that really is a cherry on top of the cake. Alpecin De Koninck, in their first year of being World Tour, they get the first monument possible and 2 riders in the top 5. It can't get much better than that.
Yeah, it certainly can't. Mathieu van der Poel, Ewan, we were doubting him after Strade Bianche. There was such a big hype for him in Strade. He was touted as the big favorite. Then Treno Adriatico, well, he wasn't up there in terms of the results, but he was doing a sterling effort for his teammate Jasper Philipsen, and here just delivering absolutely incredibly. Do you think this sets him up for an incredible season once again?
I think it definitely points towards something here. Of course, this is his first victory at San Remo, and I think this was probably it was a target, but it wasn't his main target. I think his main target will still be the Ronde van Vlaanderen, so winning this is a huge sort of bonus. And I think given that he's won this, it'll be a confidence boost and also just sort of something to carry the momentum across to these other races. What will make it harder is that he's got a target on his back, but I think that's less important in Ronde van Vlaanderen than it is in San Remo. I think if anything, the fact that he underperformed in Strade Bianche made people maybe undervalue his worth here at Milano San Remo, whilst people were looking at Pogacar with sort of a beady eye throughout. Van der Poel, people thought he was out of form because he hasn't really been there this season so far, but it worked to his favor today and he gets the big box ticked in San Remo. To add this to his collection is just fantastic as well. He's won Strade Bianche, now San Remo, Ronde van Vlaanderen, as well as Amstel Gold. The only ones missing from that is really Roubaix and Liège-Bastogne-Liège. He's finished in third place in the past at Roubaix. But yeah, it's a huge step forward for Van der Poel.
Tadej Pogacar was the big favorite, or the bookies' favorite. We kind of questioned if he could even win it, not because he isn't a spectacular rider, but because of the course not being hard enough. He tried his best. UAE Team Emirates were definitely taking control. And Ewan, I mean, yeah, it's frustrating in a way, but he just can't handle a match of Van der Poel on this kind of terrain. It's not hard enough.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not hard enough. There's not enough altitude gain. There's not this, that, and the other. Pogacar will struggle to win this purely because it's just not difficult enough. Maybe the stars will align, but I think there are so many strong contenders at the moment with such good sort of accelerations, Van der Poel in particular. that can just mark Pogacar, but maybe to take a Van der Poel out of it, and Pogacar was in this race on his own, which we were kind of speculating beforehand because we thought Van der Poel was out of form, then Pogacar could win. I think this shows more than anything that Van der Poel, his acceleration is just, it is the best in the peloton. Nobody's matches. Pogacar doesn't have that sort of boom, that killer acceleration to go with Van der Poel. Neither does Van Aert. Neither do the sprinters on an uphill. Van der Poel is just unmatched.
But I mean, the surprise package is definitely Ineos Grenadiers here. I think we didn't expect to see them feature in the front end of the race after Tom Pidcock was not starting the race. But Filippo Ganna, what just happened? Top Ganna, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a really strong performance from Pippo, and he was there throughout the day as well. His team were doing a lot of work. We saw sort of Magnus Sheffield, Luke Rose, Jonathan Narvaez do a lot of work, and I was kind of wondering why. But Pippo Ganna on the Poggio, let's call it the Poggio di Pippo, he was fantastic up it. He was marking every move. He was the only guy really to respond straight away to Pogacar. It's really good. He doesn't have that sort of killer acceleration, but he's got that diesel engine to go with. And that sprint in the end is just sort of peak Pippo Ganna, isn't it? Where sort of he did this in the Algarve when he finished second to Magnus Cort on one of the stages there. Just sort of that seated sprinting effort that he probably brings from his track days, where he can kind of go with like 500 meters, just really go full ham, on the verge of like vomiting, seeing stars, just staying in the drops, keeping it low. Pippo Ganna can do that so, so well. And I think it's also just a great sign of things to come. We've spoken about, can Pippo Ganna win Roubaix? There's even a whole video on the channel covering, can Pippo win? He had this whole sort of narrative around him last year at Roubaix of like, can he win Cobble Monuments? And I think this kind of answers the question that, yes, he can contend at top level monuments and at top level one day racing. So it points towards good things. And plenty of time trialists have done it before. If he's following in the footsteps of them very well.
I mean, yeah, having Wout van Aert again sharing the podium of Mathieu van der Poel. Jumbo-Visma, there were question marks. Were they going to use a Laporte? Were they going to use Wout van Aert? We didn't really know how Wout van Aert was feeling after his crash in Tirreno. So, I mean, it's not a bad result from the Belgian.
Yeah, it's not a bad result. Jumbo-Visma were just, they were there. We didn't really see anything from Laporte. Trentnik crashed a lot. The other kind of teammates, they weren't really there. It wasn't the Jumbo-Visma sort of ferocious effort that we've seen so often in the past. And Wout van Aert, to be honest, he marked every move, but he was riding quite negatively in terms of like he wasn't sort of riding aggressively. He wasn't sort of counterattacking. Even in the end, he didn't even sprint for third place. He just happened to sort of come across a line with more power than the very dead looking Pogacar. I was quite underwhelmed by Van Aert, who has lit up this race over the past 3 years. He won the race in 2000, even maybe 4 years. Won the race in 2020, 2021 he was attacking, 2022 he was attacking. This year he just followed. And I don't think he really added anything to the narrative here. Maybe he's missing that sort of top level acceleration to respond to Van der Poel. But even still, I just think Van der Poel is just streets ahead of Wout van Aert. And it's another case study for this sort of Van der Poel effect. When they line up to a race together, a major target of the season, like a big, big race, Wout van Aert rarely wins them. It's happened again.
I mean, check out their Echelon Cycling podcast for our in-depth discussion there. So anyways, Ewan, it was a good day for the Danes with Mads Pedersen and Søren Krav Andersen up there, but Nilsson Paulus as well doing well. But crucially behind, we had the winner of last year and the second place finishing in the same order just further down the list, and Jasper Stuyven. Yeah, EF Education Easy Post, they can draw something from this. They had a lot of cards to play.
Yeah, 100%. They were kind of my underdogs for victory today. Nilsson Paulus was my wild card choice. And he rode well. They were kind of in contention. Bettiol was up there, and Magnus Cort was looking good as well. So they were definitely sort of in the mix, rubbing shoulders with some of the best riders here. And Paulus getting a top 10. It's just another great step for him in a one-day race. He's been looking really good in one-day races over the past 2 years. So yeah, looking forward to seeing what he can do in Liège-Bastogne-Liège in particular, a race that could really suit him. They performed well at in the past. For Søren Krav Andersen, similarly, I haven't seen much of him since he moved to Alpecin de Koenig, but a really strong performance. He was up there. He was probably sort of, he did finish in fifth place, but he was probably the fifth best climber on the day. He was up in the Van der Poel group at the top of the climb. He was working with Van der Poel as well. Don't forget, these two went over the top of the Chipresa with a small gap to the peloton. So they obviously felt good. They were talking to each other, sort of discussing tactics and so forth. So I think it's a really good show of things to come for Søren Carnesen throughout the rest of this classic season. We might see him in these secondary classics like Idri Hallobaker or Dwars door Vlaanderen performing particularly well. And yeah, I mean, Pedersen was climbing well, but I think just similarly, the race might be a little bit too hard for him. If you look at that front group, there's no Pedersen types. They're all kind of, Ganna's kind of an anomaly, but Van der Poel, Van Aert and Pogacar, they're a little bit sort of, they're more used to these hillier kind of profiles. Pedersen, it might just be a bridge too far at the moment. Similarly, Benjamin Girmay, who's similar to Pedersen, nowhere to be seen. And a couple of these other sort of hillier sprinters kind of wiped out. Caleb Ewan, Arno Dali and so forth.
Yeah, but with that, that's basically it for this video. Make sure to comment down below what you thought of this victory. Where does it rank in Mathieu van der Poel's great palmares already? Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and of course, as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.